Hebrews chapter 12. If you'd turn with us. Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to start reading at verse 1. Quite a bit of reading, maybe. You found it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
All right. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Mm-hmm. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. And I want to stop here. The sinners were drawn unto Jesus and heard him gladly. This had to be the religious sinners. That's the hardest people in the world to have come against you, the religious sinners. And I believe that's what it's talking about here. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And we're going to have to go through some things. We might as well make up our minds that we're not going to let it bother us. We're going to go on for God. We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you be chastened, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Then are you illegitimate children. Then God is saying you don't belong to me if you don't receive chastisement. Furthermore, we have had fathers in our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, for a few days, they chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And because, when you see a wherefore or therefore, read above it again. And it said, because of what you've just read, amen, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I want to preach to you this morning, by the help of the Lord, on getting ready for the race. In verse 1 and 2, Paul said, you know, we have been compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And because of this, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Then he turned it and he said, and looking unto Jesus, for he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Then he talked about it for the joy that was set before him. And we wonder, you know, the cross was set before him. We talk about what joy was in that. But it was the joy of knowing the many sons and daughters were going to be born into the kingdom of God. They're going to be redeemed from sin. They're going to be delivered. And so he looked ahead and saw what it was going to bring. You and I are to look ahead and see what the things that we go through with and see what the things that we're supposed to do are going to bring to us. Many times we only think of the present. We don't think of the future. But Paul here has got us, or the writer of Hebrews, has got us looking to the future. And just like Brother Horton preached the other, there's going to be an end. We got to look to that end. Amen. But if we don't allow God to do some things in our life and cause us and bring us where He wants us, we're not going to like our end. Only if we allow Him to do some things in our life. We must run. First of all, He said we must run. Spiritual athletics. The Christian life compared to a foot race, striving for the prize. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Everybody runs. "But one receiveth the prize." So run like that. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, just no, not no, it's not just one going to be saved. It's going to be many saved, but you got to run like you're the only one. You got to look out for number one." We're running a race, folks. You can't sidetrack. You can't lay down. You can't quit. You got to keep going. Some of us are pretty close to home. Some of us are getting closer and closer. Does that scare you, Brother Ross? No. No. As long as I let Him take control, looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. And He said, hindrances, they're going to be hindrances to the runner. In Galatians 5 and 7, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? If a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully, according to the rules." They had rules in the Greek games, and the Roman games. I mean, they were strict rules. You broke one of those rules, you were out. You couldn't run anymore. And Paul here is telling us, if you don't go by the rules, you break the rules, you're out. You can't run anymore. We must run, saints of God. He said, "So run, pressing toward the goal." Philippians 3 and 14, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So run, swiftly run, he said. What he meant, to run after, to press on. Figuratively, of one who is in a race, run swiftly to reach the goal. Swiftly to reach the goal. Somebody said, "Hey, we're not there." But no, you got to keep running. And I can tell you, when you run swiftly, you forget what's behind you. Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind me, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Too many of us are living for right now. Living for here. I'm living for there. I'm pressing. Woo! Glory to God. I'm pressing. I'm going forward. How about you? The mark. It is the distant mark looked at. The goal or end as one has in a view. I am looking for the finish line. Yes, sir. I am not looking for exaltation. I am not looking for pats on the back. I am not looking to satisfy men and women. I am looking to satisfy Him. I am looking for hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I'm looking for. If you're not looking for that, you might ought to find you a place to pray. Entering the race, we must lay aside, he said, every weight. Getting ready for that race. We must free ourselves from everything that hinders us. There was a great Roman general, and he would not allow his army, his men, when they would go off to war, he would examine them, and they could not carry anything except what was necessary to fight.
All right. Uh-huh. I'm on now.
To get the job done.
Get the job done.
You can't bring that.
All right.
Extra luggage was not allowed.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to carry a lot of things along now.
All right, brother,
these days.
Right,
but it's still the same, Brother Neil. It hasn't changed. Come on. You go to picking up things, it's going to weigh you down. You can't fight. You can't run. You can't pray. You can't seek God. You can't worship. Put off, he says. Lay aside. Lay down. Cast off. Cast off. I mean, that's throw it away. As if you were angry with that. We sometimes have to get angry with the devil. We have to get angry. You know, he has done a lot of people in. We've depended a lot of times upon our wholeness, clothes, and our separation from the world to bring us to be Christians. Amen. It does not bring you to be a Christian. I mean, if that's true, then the moral people out there going to make it, Brother Neil, but they're not going to make it, no. The Amish would make it, wouldn't they?
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
But I talked to a lady that had been associated with the Amish, and she said she doubt if any of those were born again. If it's true, the world would just clothe up.
Yeah.
That'd be easy to get to heaven, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Can't get to heaven like that. No. Got to lay off, cast off. And it's not talking about clothes. Some of them's done that, practically going naked. I can't understand the mentality of that. I cannot understand the mentality of that. I'm going to get just a little bit plain here. You know, they wouldn't let you see them in their undergarments. But they'll put on less than that and go to the beach. Well, every man down there gawks at them and lusts after them. It's nothing in the world but a lust pot down there. I'm going to tell you something. We got to lay those things aside. Of course, Christians don't do that. Come on here. I said true born again Christians don't do. They lay aside those things. Anything that offends God, anything that's contrary to His Word, anything that's contrary to sensible reasoning. We don't want to talk about it anymore, but it's a true fact. We need to teach our young people and older people too, but we need to especially teach our young people that we cannot dress that way. I didn't come out of a holiness church. I was Baptist. But when I really got rooted and grounded in wholeness, I fell in love with it. Well, I got to get off of that. Let's go. Lay aside every weight. What is ever prominent, whatever's bulk, mass, whatever's a burden, whatever's an encumbrance, we've got to lay it aside. If it's contrary to our way of salvation, our way of walking with God, we've got to lay that aside. You cannot run this race properly with those things tagging along with you. Cannot do it. Amen. Jesus talked about it in Luke 21 and 34. And here's how he started the exhortation, and he said, and take heed to yourselves.
Yes.
Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. I looked up the word overcharged, your heart being overcharged. You know what it said? To weigh down. Weight down. Be over a weight that will pull you down and carry you down and hold you back. And you know what it does? Burdened down with cares of this life. Through the idea of distraction. Through the idea of distraction. Being distracted. And it said, weighed down. Heavy heart could become a hard heart. You wonder why you can't hardly move people anymore. Their heart is weighed down with the cares of this life. Holiness, folks, is not exempted from that. They're weighed down. I got to be careful. You got to move. I don't want to get sidetracked and take up too much time here. Because the wooing and drawing and convicting spirit cannot work in our lives when we are distracted by care, by anxiety, and the heart gets hard. Then the preaching of the word doesn't touch us. Then the wooing of the spirit doesn't get a hold of us. We've got to keep soft hearts. Soft hearts. I was torn between preaching two messages, and the other one was floods on hard ground. Jesus talked about the disciples being have hardness of heart. And their faith didn't operate right because of that. You can't be touched by the preaching of the word. You can't be touched by the wooing and drawing and pricking, convicting power of God when your heart is weighed down with heaviness and the cares. And I feel the Holy Ghost in here and the anxieties of life. We got to keep soft heart. That's how God deals with us, folks. He doesn't deal with us through the intellect. The mind, yes, it hears. But the heart feels. And if the heart doesn't feel it, I'm telling you, it wouldn't do us any good. It goes in the mind and just right out. But if the heart's in tune with the mind, I can tell you, if it's soft, it will receive what thus saith the Lord. It will receive what God is wanting to say to the congregation, to the people. We must lay aside every sin. No sin is acceptable. It doesn't matter what it is. And you're going to say, all right, Brother Ross, what is sin? Well, James brings us into a new view of sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And I looked up, you know, when God was talking to Israel, and he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when my people, which are called by my name, my people, you say, well, that's Israel. No, we're his people now. He cut off Israel and grafted us in. We're the people of God. When my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and do what? Come on, say it with me. And turn from their wicked ways. Well, I looked up the word there. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. I looked up sin. Sin is evil and evil is wickedness. Definitions. That's just the way it is. So sometimes, you know, we don't want to be associated with that. Turn from your wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive your sins and heal your land. We don't want to be associated with that, you know. We don't want to be associated with wickedness, and we shouldn't, we want to. But I'm talking about we don't ever think that we. But I can tell you, stubbornness and hard-heartedness is wickedness in the eyes of God. Israel had turned away from God and become stubborn and hard-hearted, and God couldn't speak to them. He couldn't talk to them. We're no better than they are. If we turn away from what God is trying to say to us, we become the same way. He said, lay aside every sin. This sin is a besetting sin. A besetting sin is a surrounding. Brother Darrell used part of it the other night when he was preaching. A besetting sin. Surrounding sin. Of wicked men that find that the things which they have done so envelop them that they cannot escape ruin. They cannot escape ruin. And then it said in Hosea 7:2, and they consider not their hearts that I remember all of their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. Their own doings, their own wickedness, their own sinful ways have beset them about, and the sin has wrapped around them and encumbered them to where they cannot run. They cannot do anything for God. Help us. God, help us. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost up here. Help us, Father. You know, how many knows what an ivy vine is? Sure you do. You see that little, you see that large, huge oak tree you can't reach around. You see that little ivy vine sticking up about 2 inches high. Right at the root, right at the trunk of that oak tree, that mighty oak tree. And if you could talk to it and you would say, little ivy vine, what are you doing? It would say, I'm clinging. I'm clinging. Ain't big enough to do anything, but he's clinging. And so you go on your way and come back 5 or 6 months, year, he has growed. He's growed. He started around that tree. Climbing up that tree, around and around. You say, little ivy vine, what are you doing now? He says, I'm climbing. I'm climbing. 5 years later, ever how long it takes him, you come back, he has totally enveloped that complete oak tree, that large, huge, huge oak tree. He's covered it. Say, what are you doing now? He says, I'm claiming. That's what sin does. It clings, it climbs, and it clings. It'll wrap around us. We cannot get by it. It's going to engulf us. It's going to destroy us. We must lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that God has set before us. Sin was never allowed in Israel. God punished them for it. And under grace, how much sore punishment? Is that what it says? How much sore punishment shall ye suppose ye shall be thought worthy of, who have trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, counted unholy thing, done despite to the spirit of grace? They died under Moses' law, two or three witnesses. Oh, people sit in the church today with sin in their life, never discovered. I can tell you what we need. We need some wooing, drawing, pricking, convicting power. Amen. But I can tell you, hardness of heart, sin and hardness of heart will drive the wooing, drawing, pricking, convicting power of God right out the door. You need to pray for me. Let's look at Lot's life real quick, like. Religious man. 2 Peter 2:7-8. Made a worldly choice. Associated with evil men. Narrowly escaped from destruction. Barely did escape. Lost property. Lost wife. And lost his reputation. Because he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He's pastoring a little church. Belle, Florida. 40 miles away from Gainesville. One of my members come in one Sunday morning. Said, "Do you know so-and-so and so-and-so?" I said, "Yeah." Said, "A car hit him last night." I knew what he was. It was a homosexual. Said, "A car hit him last night and killed him. Going down the road." Holy Ghost spoke to me immediately. And I said, "He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And he had to suffer the consequences."
Yes, sir.
Somebody, "You're preaching to Christians, Brother Ross." I know what I'm doing. Holy Ghost knows what he's doing too. You think you can play with sin in your life? No. It'll get the upper hand of you. You can't run this race with that in your life. You've got to lay aside every weight.
Amen.
And the sin that does so easily beset us. It is a besetting thing. That sin is a besetting thing. Can't play with it. I don't care how good a music we got. I don't care how good the singing is. I don't care how good the preaching is. You may sit out here. I mean, it may not affect everybody, but you may sit out here, but your life, you never can get over the hump. You never can get to going. You never can get the victory that you hear people talk about. I can tell you there is a place in Jesus Christ with total victory. Complete. You hear what I'm saying? Feel the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about complete Holy Ghost victory. You can live it, breathe it, walk it, talk it. But what about so-and-so? You get your life, amen. You're in charge of your life. Somebody said, "God's in charge of my life." He don't make your decisions to go pray. He don't make your decision to separate yourself from the world. He tells you to, but you're going to have to make that decision. I am in control of my life. I make the decision for me. And if I'm going to let sin in my life, I can tell you God will cut me off. He will not fellowship me. He will not walk or talk with me. He will not deal with me except to get rid of that sin. I must get rid of that sin. Somebody's here this morning that needs what I'm talking about. If you strive for the masteries, you're going to have to strive lawfully. I got to hurry. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:25, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate. Is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Temperance, self-control, self-control. It's like I said, I am in control of my life. God will help me. God will give me whatever I need. Give me His word. Give me His Holy Ghost power. But I've got to make the decision. Amen. The duty of self-control over the spirit, over the life, over the lust of the flesh, over the tongue. My, that's a big area to cover right there, isn't it? You can't be running your mouth when you ought not to and run the race. That's right. Self-control, temperance is self-control, and that is over the tongue as much as any other part of your body. That's over the mind. When we are saying we walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, that's everything.
Amen.
That's everything under the Spirit. We're not left to ourselves to do what we want to. You can't go to church and sing and shout and pray and all those things. Come back home and fuss and fight with the wife and argue with the children. No. Get in control. Let the Spirit have your life. Amen. Get in control in your house. Amen. Set your house in order. Set your wife and children down and tell them, hey, it's going to be like thus and thus and thus. Get in trouble. I feel it coming on. When the wife and I got married, I said, now both of us can't be boss, so I'm going to be. You say, you're mean. No, I'm not. That's exactly what the Bible said I should be. Head of the house. I love my wife. Spent 56 years together this past June. Never been separated. raise my kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Hallelujah. We get along good. We're in love. It's my sweetheart. Come on here. If she wasn't here, I'd tell you the same thing. We go down the road holding hands. At night, before I go to bed, I say, I love you. She tells me, I love you. We get up in the morning loving one another. Go to bed at night loving one another. Come on here. That's what God can do in your life. Brother Smith, I could not do that without God. Because me and her were two different people when we first got married. I thought we was going to lose our marriage. Because I was headstrong, had a temper. I had one of those tempers, buddy, that stopped a freight train. You hear me? I'm talking about one of those kind that, I mean, it would explode at just nothing. And I said, God, if you don't help me, I'm going to lose my wife. And God helped me. If I feel it raring up now, I find me a place to pray. It's not supposed to rear up. Like I said, I almost see myself getting in trouble here. Self-control. It means the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. Sensual appetites. Lust. Greed. Hate. Envy. Strife. Sedition. Heresy. All of those things. You can't run this race with that garbage in your mind and that garbage in your heart. Swerve from the deliberate purpose of his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. And patient, steadfast, waiting on the Lord. Patient, enduring, sustaining, perseverance. Looking unto Jesus, he said, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author. He's the one that started this thing. There's more I could say, but I don't have time. He's the one that started this thing. He's going to finish. He's the one that's able to keep you. Everything that's committed into his hand. Amen. I want to go a little farther. Next thing we're going to have to do, we're going to have to suffer correction. Discipline. Going to have to be disciplined people. We think we reserve the right to part of us live for God and the part of us near about being beastly. Come on here. I gotta wait a minute. Gotta wait just a little bit right here. A few years ago, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to discipline yourself. Verse 13, if you look at it, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You can't run this race if you're lame. Let it rather be healed. And it means a twisted joint out of place. I'm telling you, it's concern for those that are lame. But let it rather be healed. God wants to heal it. And he said, we need to lift up the hands. Yeah. Run. Try to run with your hands hanging down. Try to run bent over. Yeah. You cannot do it. No. When you're going to run, that back stands up erect. Those hands are up here. And they're going and doing like this, bringing you on, helping you to breathe. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Don't let your hands hang down. And it also means worship. Get your hands up. Come on. Worship the true and the living God. A person that doesn't have worship in them, they're going to run this race. We got to have a worship. I ain't talking about waiting until we get to the house of God. I'm talking about when you get on your knees to pray. Worship God. Let that be the first thing you do, is worship God when you get on your knees. Some people just get on their knees, gimme, 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 gimme. Lord, do this, do this, do this, do this. I never do that. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And God spoke to me and said, I want you to discipline yourself. And I thought, well, I'll discipline myself in prayer. God said, no, I want you to discipline yourself in prayer, eating, everything. Eating will just about kill some of us. I know it. You need to go easy, don't I? I'll say it real easy. You're not disciplining yourself when you overeat. I didn't holler and say it that. I said it easy. Come on. And then that cost us. That cost us anxiety. It causes us fear. Come on here. It cost us the breath that we could use for something else. When we get busy doing something, we totally give out of breath. If you have a problem and you're overweight because of the problem, medical problem, I don't say anything against you. But if we're overeating, I told you I was going to have to be careful. I'm talking about running the race, folks. Lift up the hands and the feeble knees. The feeble knees. We've gotten so feeble in our walk. We've gotten so feeble that we can't run. I'm telling you, I don't know whether anybody here disciplines herself in a walk or not, walking. But, you know, if I miss it a while and I go back, I have to short distance. Yeah. But I noticed when I get to walking, it isn't long till I got breath. I feel better. Come on, exercise. He designed. Somebody said, well, Paul, you know, said the bodily exercise profits little. That's because Paul walked everywhere he went. He didn't ride. He walked everywhere he went. Isn't that right? Am I okay there? And some of us don't walk nowhere. Like I said, I know I was going to get in trouble. Every Christian receives correction from God. This is correction this morning. Who are you, Brother Ross? God's servant. God's servant. That's all I am. I don't have a right to do anything outside of God. I have none. All right? You can't run this race now if you're lame. Every Christian, no chastening, no father. God's not your father. Ooh. Preacher, what are you saying? Just exactly what the Bible says. Our fathers. Mine disciplined me when he whipped me when his temper run away with him. I suffered that. I've had him put with a plastic belt, whips upon the back of my legs, having to roll my breeches legs up, and I'm talking about beat me unmerciful with that just because his temper run away with him. I got in his way, making noise, you know, all this stuff. You know, he had a temper. Did I hate him before I got saved? I did. But after I got saved, I didn't hate him no more. Loved him. That's right. He did it for his own pleasure. But my heavenly Father He disciplines me because he loves me and because he wants me to be partakers of his holiness. And I want to be partakers of his holiness. You say, Brother Ross, these scriptures don't go together. Yes, they absolutely do. You never make me believe they don't go together. Discipline is very important. Us preachers have to discipline ourselves with our studying, with our prayer life. You do too, your prayer life. Discipline is reading the right thing. Reading, because what you read affects your mind. Fiction is lies. There's a lot of Christian people today reading those fiction books. I know some that read them. Can't understand that. I told them. I said, that is garbage. We must discipline ourselves. Read the Word of God. Read a good Christian book. Make sure you know who wrote it. Make sure it's not got any doctrine in there that might sidetrack you or sidetrack your children or whatever. Come on. I don't allow fiction books in my house, period. I don't care how good they might think to be. Let me tell you what they'll do. I'm real quick like here. Let me tell you what they'll do. Young couples read these things, especially women. I'm not targeting women today. But especially women, they'll read these things. And let me tell you what it does. It'll get you to the place to where you want to pattern your life after what you're reading.
You're right.
If your relationship with your husband is not what that book is talking about, you're going to have problems.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't care whether I get an amen off of it or not. That's the truth.
Yes,
you're going to have problems.
Yes,
lay that. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. People read that 2.5 hours and read the Word of God 15 minutes. I can tell you what dominates up there is what you're reading. What you're reading dominates up there. I'm talking about running the race. I'm talking about laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Discipline yourself in prayer. How do you do that? Get up. Paul talked about prayer. I'm going to quit right here. Paul talked about prayer. And when he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God, many people don't believe that the 18th verse goes with those weapons of prayer. I mean, weapons of warfare. But prayer is a weapon. I'm living today. I believe this with all of my heart. I'm living today, and I believe I'm going to live some longer. I'm living today because I believe that God heard my prayer. I said, God, if you'll let me live, got some problems, but I don't feel no problem now. I don't feel none. I said, if you'll let me live, I'll be a priest for my family. Oh, we're not priests. We're kings and priests. We're priests. Amen. I said, if you'll let me live, I'll be a priest for my family. I'll be a priest for this world. I'll be a priest for this country. Come on. I'll be a priest for the church. I'll pray and seek God for the church. Come on here. Pray for all. Somebody said, you can't. Yes, you can. You can make intercession for the whole wide world. Paul said, praying always. And he said, praying for all men everywhere. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I said, God, if you'll let me live, I said, I'm gonna seek God. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to be a priest for my family. A while back, my wife, my, My son called me and said, my wife is sick, real sick. I said, we'll pray for her. He called back not too long after that. How's she doing? He said, you know, said she told me, said, I can't figure it out. Said, I am a lot better. I'm a lot better. My son, he's backslid, been backslid for years. I'm glad yours is not. Mine is. I hate that. I'm seeking God for him. I'm keeping him before the Lord. He said, I told her, I know what happened. Said, my mom and daddy prayed. My daughter was working school and just like a couple of years retiring. Thought she's going to lose her job. She said, Daddy, I want you to pray. Begin to pray, Brother Horton. Me and the wife did seek God for her. Thing just right around the other way. Woman called her in the office and apologized to her. Made it right. You know, she told somebody, she said, my mom and daddy prayed. You're bragging? No, not on me. I'm bragging on my God. You hear me? Discipline yourself in prayer. That world won't give you near as much trouble if you discipline yourself in prayer. Love and appreciate you. Thank you for the opportunity to preach to you. I pray that I've said something that'll help you along the way.